Before we begin this evening's WoWo special presentation of Charles Dickens' Yuletide classic, A Christmas Carol, a little bit about the drama's author. Perhaps one of the greatest English novelists and most popular writers of all time, Charles Dickens created some of the most famous characters in all of literary history. But Dickens was much more than a writer. He was a writer with a purpose. For one facet of his writing, Dickens was a great reformer. With the quickly industrializing city of London came many public health problems, and through his writing, Charles Dickens attempted to show officials in England's largest city just what had to be corrected. But Charles Dickens is quickly accredited with more than being just a reformer. He came from a very poor family, so poor that his family at one point was thrown into the Marshallese debtors' prison. Finding his own home, however, Charles was exempt. Soon, Mr. Dickens began writing for the Morning Chronicle, and experienced success through his famous sketches of Boz. Other favorites followed, classics like Great Expectations, Oliver Twist, The Old Curiosity Shop, A Tale of Two Cities, and David Copperfield, to name a few. Finally, Charles Dickens is rewarded with another interesting blurb. Mr. Dickens is credited with almost single-handedly reviving dying Christmas spirit in England. Charles Dickens died in 1870 at Gad's Hill. Following his death, it was realized that he was truly one of the most beloved writers in English history, and thus was buried in Poets' Corner in Westminster Abbey. True, Charles Dickens is dead, but his work will live forever. A Christmas Carol, just one of the famous classics by Dickens, will live forever in the hearts and minds of the world. A little bit about Charles Dickens.
Tonight, WOWO presents Charles Dickens' classic holiday tale, A Christmas Carol, which was rewritten for radio by Mr. Walter Hackett. This evening's drama was directed and produced especially for WOWO Radio by Tim Gigline and Jim Skimmis. Now, get comfortable, pull up a soft chair, gather the family around the radio, and enjoy WOWO's Yuletide classic radio version of Dickens' A Christmas Carol.
Stop it, I say. Get away from here. We'll have no singing around here. Understand me? No singing.
A Merry Christmas, sir.
Get away, I say.
No need to wish him a Merry Christmas. That's old Scrooge.
Yes, that is old Scrooge. Ebenezer Scrooge. It is the afternoon before Christmas Day in the year of our Lord 1844. Despite the bitterly cold weather, all of London is in a festive mood. But there's no happy expression on Ebenezer Scrooge's lined face as he closes the front door of his warehouse and returns to his office. He throws a glowering look at his clerk, Bob Cratchit. Satisfied that the poor wretch is hard at work, Scrooge adjusts his spectacles and then, without warning...
A Merry Christmas, Uncle. God save you.
Bah, humbug.
Christmas, a humbug? Surely you don't mean that, Uncle.
Merry Christmas, indeed. What right have you to be merry? You're poor enough.
What right have you to be dismal? You're rich enough.
What's Christmas time to you but a time for paying bills without money? A time for finding yourself a year older and not an hour richer? If I had my way, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips would be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart. You keep Christmas in your own way, and let me keep it in mine.
I came here to ask you to spend Christmas Day with Peg and me.
No!
But we want nothing from you, Uncle, other than your company. Won't you change your mind and have dinner with us?
Good afternoon, Fred.
A Merry Christmas.
Good afternoon.
And a Happy New Year.
Bah! Humbug!
Pardon me, Mr. Scrooge. There's a gentleman here to see you.
What about Cratchit?
He didn't say, sir.
Ah, good afternoon, sir. Have I the pleasure of addressing Mr. Scrooge or Mr. Marley?
Mr. Marley, my former partner, has been dead these 7 years. He died 7 years ago this very night.
Then I have no doubt his liberality is well represented by his surviving partner.
What do you want?
At this festive season, Mr. Scrooge, we try and make some slight provision for the poor and destitute. Many thousands are in want of common necessities.
Are there no prisons?
Oh, plenty of prisons.
And the workhouses, are they still in operation?
I wish I could say they were not. How much shall I put you down for, Mr. Scrooge?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Exactly. Let these deserving people of yours go to the establishments I've mentioned.
Most of them would rather die than do that.
Well, then let them do that, and help decrease the surplus population. I'm busy. Good afternoon to you.
Very good, Mr. Scrooge. Merry Christmas to you.
Charity. Ha! Humbug!
Mr. Scrooge, sir.
Well, what is it, Cratchit?
I was wondering.
You were wondering if you could go home?
Yes, sir. It's getting late.
Yes, yes, go on, go on. You'll want all day tomorrow, I suppose.
If quite convenient, sir.
It's not convenient, and it's not fair.
It's only once a year, sir.
A poor excuse for picking a man's pocket every 25th day of December. I suppose you must have the whole day, but be here all the earlier the next day, understand?
Yes, sir, and Merry Christmas.
Christmas, humbug.
A few minutes later, Scrooge leaves his warehouse and makes his way to his melancholy chambers, a gloomy suite of rooms. By the light of a single flickering candle, he eats his cold supper. And then to save lighting his stove, Ebenezer Scrooge retires for the night. The minutes tick away. Scrooge sleeps uneasily, tossing from side to side. Suddenly, he awakes with a start. Walking toward him and dragging a heavy chain is a gray, dim figure of a man. It stops at the foot of the bed.
Who are you? What do you want with me? Who are you?
Ask me who I am.
Yes,
in life I was your partner, Jacob Marley.
But it cannot be so. You're dead.
You don't believe in me?
No, you're nothing but an undigested bit of beef, a bite of mustard, a crumb of cheese.
You are wrong, Ebenezer. I am the ghost of Jacob Marley.
Why do you come to me?
It is required of every man that the spirit within him should walk abroad among his fellow men and travel far and wide. If that spirit goes not forth in life, it is condemned to do so after death.
No, I don't believe it.
It is then doomed to wander through the world.
You are chained, Jacob. Tell me why.
I wear the chain I forged in life. I made it link by link and yard by yard. I wore it of my own free will. Is its pattern strange to you?
I don't understand.
This chain I wear is as heavy as the one you are now forging.
You talk strangely, Jacob.
For 7 years I have been dead, traveling the whole time. No rest, no peace, only remorse.
But you were always shrewd, Jacob.
Aye, true shrewd.
A man of good business.
Business? Mankind was my business. The common welfare was my business. Charity, mercy, forbearance, and benevolence were all my business. But I heeded none of these. Instead, I thought only of money.
And what's wrong with making money?
That is your fault, Ebenezer, as it was mine. That is why I'm here tonight. That is part of my penance. I am here to warn you, to help you escape my fate. You have one chance left.
Tell me how this chance will come.
My time draws near. I must go. Tonight you will be haunted by three spirits. The first will appear when the bell strikes one. Expect the second at the stroke of two. And the third as the bell tolls three.
Couldn't I take them all at once and have it over with?
No. And heed them when they appear. Remember, it is your last chance to escape my miserable fate.
As Scrooge stares in frightened silence, the wrath-like figure of his deceased partner dissolves into space. Then, exhausted by the ordeal, Scrooge drops off to sleep. 12 o'clock comes. Time passes. Then, The curtains of Scrooge's bed are drawn aside, but by no visible hand. There by the bed stands an unearthly visitor, a strange figure, like a child. Its hair is white, and in its hand it holds a sprig of fresh green holly. Scrooge stares, and then speaks.
Are you the spirit whose coming was told to me by Jacob Marley?
I am.
Who and what are you?
I am the ghost of Christmas past.
Long past?
No, your past. Rise and walk with me.
Where?
Out through the window.
But we're three stories above ground, and I'm only a mortal.
Bear but a touch of my hand upon your heart, and you shall be upheld in more than this.
What are we to do?
I'm going to help reclaim you. Come, walk with me, out into the night, into the past.
Tell me, ghost of Christmas past, where are we?
Look down, Ebenezer, and remember back.
Why, of course, the river, the meadows, and why, there's my old school. I went there as a lad, but there's no one about.
It is Christmas holiday. Let us look back into the study hall.
Empty, except for a young boy sitting at his desk, his head in his hands, left behind. He's crying, poor chap. No place to go at Christmas. Ah, now he's looking up.
Do you recognize him?
Why, it's...
What's his name?
Ebenezer Scrooge. I wish... Oh, but it's too late now.
What's the matter?
Nothing. There were some boys singing Christmas carols outside my warehouse door yesterday afternoon, and I drove them away.
Let us see another Christmas. It is a year later. Another Christmas.
And again, there is the school.
That boy standing in the driveway, pacing up and down.
It is I!
And what do you see?
A coach coming up the driveway. Now it has stopped, and a little girl gets out. Look, she's hugging me. It's Fan, my sister!
Listen to what she says.
I've come to bring you home, dear brother. Father's not mean anymore, and he says you're never coming back here. And from now on, we'll always be together. Just think, together for the first time in 4 years.
Your sister was a delicate creature, kind, big-hearted.
So she was. She died comparatively young.
She left one child behind her.
Yes, Fred, my nephew.
He was in to wish you a Merry Christmas yesterday.
Yes, he did so. Please take me back.
Not yet. There is one more shadow.
No more. I do not wish to see it.
You must. The years have passed. In this house below, look, there sits a young girl. A beautiful girl.
It's Belle!
The girl you were to marry. And there you sit, next to her, a young man in your prime. Only now your face begins to show the signs of avarice. There is a greedy, restless motion in your eyes, Ebenezer. Listen to what she is saying to you.
It matters very little to you. Another idol has displaced me, a golden one. You hold money more important than me or anything else for that matter, and I'm going to grant you your wish, free you from marrying me. That is the way you wish it, Ebenezer. I feel sorry for you.
Spirit, show me no more!
Today, Belle is a happy woman, surrounded with her fine children. Those children might have been yours, Ebenezer, if you hadn't been so selfish.
Take me back. Haunt me no more. I beg of you, don't!
The steeple clock has just finished striking the second hour of Christmas Day. Scrooge finds himself back in his bedroom. Slowly, his door, though bolted, swings open.
Good morning, Ebenezer. Welcome me. I am the ghost of Christmas present. Look upon me.
You're practically a giant. Yet you have such a young face.
Have you never seen the like of me before?
Never.
I have many brothers, over 1,800 of them. One for each Christmas since the very first.
And you're here to take me with you?
Yes. I trust you will profit by your journey. Touch my robe, Ebenezer.
Those people in this church, they seem very happy.
They are, for they are giving thanks for all the joys brought to them during the year.
And the crew of that ship over there. Look, they're shaking hands with the captain.
Wishing him Merry Christmas. But come, we have not much time left, and there is still another place we must visit. It is a very poor house in a very poor part of London. This one directly below us.
Indeed it is. Who, may I ask, lives here?
An underpaid clerk named Bob Cratchit.
The Bob Cratchit who's employed by me?
The very same.
That woman, those four children.
His wife and family.
Coming up the stairs right now, that's Cratchit. He's carrying a young boy.
His fifth child, Tiny Tim.
He carries a crutch.
Because he is crippled.
But the doctors...
Cratchit cannot afford a doctor, not on 15 shillings a week.
But...
Shh. Listen.
Good afternoon, everyone.
And a most Merry Christmas.
Father, Tiny Tim.
Merry Christmas.
Welcome.
Tiny Tim, sit next to me.
Father, let me take your muffler.
And how did Tiny Tim behave at church?
As good as gold and better.
I was glad to be able to go to church. That's because I wanted the people to see that I am a cripple.
Now, that's a peculiar thing to say, Tiny Tim.
No, it isn't. That's because I was in God's house, and it was God who made the blind able to see and the lame able to walk. And when the people at church saw me in my crutch, I was hoping that they would think of what God can do, and that they would say a prayer for me.
Well, I'm certain they must have prayed for you.
And one of these days I'm going to get well, and that'll mean I can throw away this crutch and run and play like the other boys.
You will, Tim, one of these days. And now, Mother, the big question. When will dinner be ready?
Yes, when will dinner be ready?
Yes, I'm hungry.
It's ready now. Just about the finest goose you've ever seen. Martha, you carry it in. Elizabeth, you fetch the potatoes and turnips. And Robert, set the chairs around the table.
And I'll sit between Father and Mother.
This is going to be the best Christmas dinner anyone could hope for. And I'm the luckiest man in the world having such a fine family.
It isn't a very big goose, is it? I could eat the whole bird myself, I believe.
It's all Bob Cratchit can afford. His family doesn't complain. To them, that meager goose is a sumptuous banquet. More important. Much more important, Ebenezer.
Go on.
They are a happy, united group. Look at their shining faces. Listen to them.
What a superb dinner
we have had. The tempting meat, the delicious dressing.
And the plum pudding, don't forget that.
That pudding was the greatest success achieved by Mrs. Cratchit since her marriage.
Well, thank you for the compliment. I must confess, it was good.
And now for the crowning touch, the punch. Here we are. Get your glasses. You, Peter, Dick, Tom, Martha, Tiny Tim, and last but far from least, you, Mother. And not to forget myself. There.
A toast.
First, the founder of this feast, the man who has made it possible. I give you Mr. Scrooge.
Mr. Scrooge, indeed. I wish I had him here. I'd give him a piece of my mind to feast upon, and I hope he'd have a good appetite for it.
My dear, the children, Christmas Day.
He's a hard, stingy, unfeeling man. You know he is, Robert, better than anybody else.
My dear, remember, Christmas Day.
Well, I'm sorry. Very well, I'll drink to his health. Long life to him. A Merry Christmas to him. To Mr. Scrooge.
To Mr. Scrooge.
And now a toast to us. A Merry Christmas to us all. God bless us.
God bless us.
God bless us, everyone.
Spirit, tell me if Tiny Tim will live.
I see a vacant seat in the chimney corner, and a crutch without an owner carefully preserved. If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, the child will die.
No, kind spirit. Say he will live, that he'll be spared.
Why concern yourself about him? Isn't it better that he die and decrease the surplus population?
But these poor people must be helped.
Are there no prisons? The workhouses? Are they still in operation?
Don't taunt me.
It is time for us to go.
No, I wish to remain.
I can remain no longer. Touch my robe, and we shall go.
No, I say, Spirit, don't desert me. I need your help.
As Ebenezer Scrooge comes to his senses, he discovers himself standing on the street outside his lodgings. A heavy snow is falling, blanketing a sleeping London. The wind has died down. It is still early Christmas morning.
Ebenezer Scrooge.
You are the third and last?
I am the ghost of Christmas yet to come.
You are about to show me shadows of things that have not yet happened, but will happen in the time before us? Is that so, Spirit?
Yes, Ebenezer, that is correct.
I tremble at going with you. I fear what I am to see.
Come, Ebenezer.
Why do we stop here on this street corner, Spirit?
Those two men standing there, do you know them?
Why, yes, I do business with them.
Their conversation is interesting.
When did he die?
Last night, I believe.
I thought he'd never die.
What has he done with his money?
I haven't heard. Left it to his company, perhaps. Well, one thing is certain. He didn't leave it to charity.
Are you going to his funeral?
Huh, not unless a free lunch is provided.
A very good point. Can't say that I blame you.
Spirit, this dead man they were discussing, who is he?
I will show you.
This room, it's too dark to see.
In front of you is a bed. On it lies a man. The body of the man those men on the street were discussing.
And no one has come to claim his body?
No one, for he left not a friend behind him. Come closer and look into his face.
No!
Look!
Spirit, this is a fearful place. Let us go.
Look at the face of this unclaimed man.
I would do it if I could, but I haven't the power. Let me see some tenderness connected with the death. If I don't, that lonely body in this dark room will ever haunt me.
Yes, I know of such a home. One where there is tenderness connected with death. Over here, on this poor street, and in this dismal house.
But this house? Why, yes, I've been here before. Bob Cratchit, my clerk, lives here. There's Mrs. Cratchit and her eldest daughter, Martha.
Your eyes, Mother. You'll strain them working in this bad light.
I'll stop for a while. I wouldn't show weak eyes to your father when he comes home. It's time he was here.
Past it, rather. But these days he walks slower than he used to, Mother.
Oh, I've known him to walk with Tiny Tim upon his shoulder very fast indeed. He was very light to carry, and your father loved him, so it was no trouble. There is your father now at the door. You're late tonight, Robert.
Yes, I'm late.
I'll get some tea for you, Father.
Thank you, Martha.
You went there today, Robert?
Yes, I wish you could have gone. It would have done you good to see how green a place it is.
I'll see it soon.
I promised him I would walk there every Sunday. My poor Tiny Tim. At last he got rid of his crutch.
Yes, at last he did. Our poor Tiny Tim.
Tell me, Spirit, why did Tiny Tim have to die?
Come. There's still another place to visit.
A graveyard? Why do we pause here?
That tombstone. Read the name on it.
Before I do, answer me one question. Are these the shadows of the things that will be, or are they the shadows of the things that may be only?
The inscription on the tombstone.
Yes. It reads, Ebenezer Scrooge? No, Spirit. No, hear me. I am not the man I was. I will not be the man that I must have been but for this lesson. I will honor Christmas in my heart.
But will you?
Oh, yes. Yes, I will try and keep it alive all the year. I will live in the past, the present, and the future. I will not shut out the lesson that all three spirits have taught me. Oh, tell me there's hope that I may sponge away the writing on this stone. Tell me there's hope, that I may sponge away the writing on this stone. What am I holding on to? The bedpost. I'm in my own bed. Home. Those bells. It must be Christmas Day. Christmas Day. I wonder if it really is. We shall see. I'll open the window. You, boy down there.
Eh?
What day is today, my fine lad?
Today? My Christmas Day, of course.
And to think the spirits have done it all in one night.
What did you say, sir?
Do you know the poulterers in the next street?
I should hope I did.
An intelligent boy. A remarkable boy. Do you know whether they've sold the prize turkey that was hanging in the window?
The one as big as me?
What a delightful boy. Yes, the one as big as you.
It's hanging there now.
Well, go and buy it. I'm in earnest. Here's the money. Catch. Deliver it to Bob Cratchit, who lives on Golden Street in Camden Town.
But, sir, there'll be considerable change left over.
Keep it, my boy, keep it.
Oh, thank you, sir.
And, boy.
Yes, sir?
Don't let Mr. Cratchit know who sent the turkey. It's something of a surprise. And something else.
Yes, sir?
A very Merry Christmas to you!
What is it? Why, bless my soul!
Yes, yes, 'tis I, your Uncle Scrooge, Fred. I've come for dinner. Now let me in. I have a present for you and your good wife. From now on, I'm going to be one of your most persistent guests. I've changed, my boy. You'll see.
Scrooge was better than his word. He did everything he promised and infinitely more. He became a persistent visitor to his nephew's home and even took Fred into business with him. He raised Bob Cratchit's salary to a figure that left that bewildered gentleman gasping. And to Tiny Tim, who did not die, he was a second father. He provided doctors for the little lad. And very soon, Tiny Tim will have his wish. He'll be able to throw away his crutch and run and play like the other boys. As for the three spirits, Ebenezer Scrooge never saw them again. That was due to the unchallengeable fact that Scrooge, for the rest of his days, helped keep alive the spirit of Christmas. And so, as Tiny Tim observed, God bless us, everyone.
This evening, you've been listening to the classic Yuletide play, Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, produced especially for WoWo Radio by Tim Gagline and Jim Skimmis. Our cast of characters this evening included Ebenezer Scrooge, Ron Gregory. Narrator, Jack Underwood. Bob Cratchit, Dave Russell. Mrs. Cratchit, Lois Dinkle. First Ghost, Chris Roberts. Second Ghost, Bob Sievers. Third Ghost, Diana Updike. The Ghost of Jacob Marley, Victor Locke. Fred, Jim Skimmis. Gentleman, Tim Gagline. Fan, Pam Dennis. Martha, Linda Loesch. The Man, Mike Dyes. The Woman, Sally Francis. The Boy That Meets Scrooge in the End, Kevin Friel. And of course, as Tiny Tim, Ron Buskirk. Special thanks this evening goes to Denise Wick, Chris Whitting, Dan Friel, and all of the people who helped in putting this show together. WoWo hopes that you and yours have the merriest of Christmases and a most blessed New Year. And as Tiny Tim expressed,
God bless us, everyone.
I'm Jerry Hoffman. Good night.
Yes, yes. Well, hello, hello. This is Ebenezer Scrooge once again. Well, I've learned my lesson, and I certainly hope you've learned yours, and that you're partaking of this wonderful Yuletide season. A merry, merry Christmas to all of you, from all of us here at WOWO Fort Wayne, Group W Westinghouse Broadcasting. Merry Christmas, one and all.